You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning with your host Greg Sussman, Adam Ronis, and Scott Engel is on now.
It is Tuesday, October 25th, 2016, and this is the Roto Experts in the Morning. My name is Greg Sussman alongside the King, Scott Engel, and of course Adam Ronis. We are here, some may call this Christmas, because it is day one of the NBA season, day one of the World Series, and of course, the beginning of week eight, which means it is a jam-packed show for you today here on the Roto Experts, where we will go over all of that, the World Series, the NBA season, we'll make our predictions, we'll give you some picks for tonight, and of course, talk a little week eight waiver wire. But we start saying good morning to Scott Engel. What's up, Scotty?
How you doing this morning, Greg?
Good.
I'm happy. See you guys. Interesting week, too, because we'll talk about this more later in the show, but we had a very interesting eligibility change in some formats, not in some others. And this starts maybe the two most challenging weeks of the fantasy football season. We have six teams on buys this week and next week. So fantasy football is about managing your team. You're really going to be tested these next 2 weeks.
Absolutely. Ronis, what's going on, bud?
Nothing, man. An exciting week. NBA tonight, World Series Game 1, probably going to be one of the most watched World Series in quite a bit with two teams that have not won in a long time, Cubs and Indians. And it's a good matchup. I know a lot of people are picking the Cubs, but it's tough to sleep on the Indians with the way they've played here in the playoffs.
Yeah, it is. I think it's going to be a very fun World Series. We'll talk about it. You know what? We'll talk about it a little bit because I do want to get over some interesting news from the World Series, including Jason Kipnis, Kyle Schwarber, Danny Salazar, names that we didn't think we'd hear again here in 2016, but maybe become important in the next week or so. But let's start with Monday Night Football, gentlemen, from last night, in a game that, quite frankly, I think went as most of us expected it would. Denver dominated. Brock Osweiler stunk, and he's pretty terrible, confirmed. And the Broncos won this one handily. It was not close at any point in the game. The Denver defense is legitimate. Trevor Siemian, a nice solid game, doing exactly what he needed to do. Both running backs, C.J. Anderson, Devontae Booker, look very, very good for Denver. And John Gruden actually said, and I don't really agree much with John Gruden says, but John Gruden said it at the end of the game last night, that no matter who Denver faces in the playoffs, assuming they get there, they're going to be a tough out. That defense is very, very good. And even though Trevor Siemian has his moments, quite obviously, this defense is that legitimate and that good that they're going to be a tough out, Scotty.
Yeah, we were talking yesterday, like, who's really the second best team in the AFC outside of New England? And you could make a case for Denver. You know, that'd be interesting, something we could talk about another time. What happens when Denver plays New England? It depends on how mature Trevor Siemian is at that point. But all they need to do is have him be a game manager. They could go by the Baltimore Ravens script or even their own script of last year, where you have a game manager at quarterback, and your defense and your running game can carry you to it. The thing is, they have two playmakers at receiver. I think they set it up good for Siemian to take what the defense gives them underneath with Demaryius Thomas. Let Thomas work after the catch. He's not afraid to go downfield to Emmanuel Sanders. You know, this is not an offense that's totally devoid of playmaking ability, which is good from a fantasy perspective. We especially saw that with the running backs. We're seeing more and more of these timeshares, like these Giovanni Bernard, Jeremy Hill type things that harken back to D'Angelo Williams and Jonathan Stewart.
Before that, Stephen
and
Davis.
Even before that, for you, Brandon Jacobs and Tiki Barber, what the Giants attempted to do. I think we're seeing a lot more of these split backfields where both of these type of running backs can produce good fantasy numbers. And we saw that to the hill with Denver last night.
Yeah, we absolutely did. C.J. Anderson, Devontae Booker, both had really nice games last night. 16 carries for 107 for C.J. Anderson, who got knocked out very, very briefly in this game, came right back in. Devontae Booker had 17 for 83. They both had touchdowns. They both looked really good. How much of this is just Denver's success running the ball, and how much of this is Houston being banged up and simply not being nearly as good as Denver?
No, I think it's Denver's offensive line getting healthier. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. And Denver did mention this week that they wanted to get Devontae Booker more involved, so this wasn't a surprise, but it also goes to show that it's not going to damage the value of C.J. Anderson. Look, if he's going to, they're not going to run the ball this effectively every game. They combined for 190 rushing yards, but I still think Anderson's going to have good fantasy value going forward. He gets dinged a little bit with Booker in the picture, and hopefully C.J. Anderson owners picked up Booker just in case of injury. We did see Anderson leave briefly early in the game, but he quickly returned. And, you know, I think C.J. Anderson feels the pressure again. You know, he said it. I think he tweeted out something like, oh, people doubting me again. So he kind of thrives on that. I think people have been doubting him in his career. Like, a lot of people are coming out, Devontae Booker's better than C.J. Anderson. I wouldn't say that. Booker right. looks good. But again, I did see a pass protection where Booker didn't even come close to blocking the oncoming pass rusher. So that's something he has got to improve on. And that's the one thing that Anderson holds an advantage over Booker right now. But similar carries, Anderson was still better yards per carry. He still had the longest run. Again, there's value for both of them there. This was a game where you thought they would play from ahead, and they combined for 33 carries.
You know, 33 carries, as a CJ owner, as a CJ Anderson owner, excuse me, Scott, how nervous would you be going forward, or how good would you feel going forward? Where do you stand on CJ Anderson?
I look at him as an RB2,
okay.
And I'm not too nervous because I feel like right now he's making the most of every carry. He's being efficient. You know, people panic about volume here, but the way that Denver's running the ball, and I realize they were facing a 29th-ranked run defense, but you're supposed to take advantage of that. C.J. Anderson's going to get a lot of goal line calls, et cetera. If you drafted C.J. Anderson
yep.
to be your RB1, you're a little bit disappointed overall, but I think you can be pretty confident in putting him to your lineup every week that he's going to get a decent amount of yardage and that he's going to get goal line opportunities. Sometimes it's not always about volume. Sometimes it's about efficiency.
It is. It's absolutely true. It's where you're getting the ball, certainly. Both guys look spry. I think that's the thing, the big takeaway.
Yeah, Booker looks good. Yeah.
Booker looks absolutely fantastic right now, which I think we thought we would see. And I think you're right, Scotty. I don't think C.J. Anderson is no longer in that RB1 lockdown, all good conversation. He's a conversation where he is splitting carries with someone.
Yeah.
And that's okay. And you look at Devontae Freeman and Tevin Coleman, and that's fine. There's no issue here as long as they're both successful. And this Denver team, as you just mentioned, they want to run the ball. They want to let Trevor Siemian take what the defense gives him, and that's it. Be a game manager and rely heavily on the running game. And I think that's okay. I think that's okay for fantasy purposes. Ronis, is Devontae Booker someone you're going to be able to start flexing weekly?
It seems like you could, especially the next 2 weeks with six teams on bye.
Yeah.
Look, they do want him involved in the offense, and I think this is the recipe they want. They want to go back to running the football as much as they can, and now they have two backs. It'll also help keep C.J. Anderson healthy. That's the biggest question mark for me with C.J. Anderson. He just seems to get banged up a lot. He really doesn't miss games, but you know, when you're banged up like that, it just, you're not 100% out there, and I think this will keep him a little bit fresh. And they obviously don't want Siemian to push the ball downfield. He took a lot of short throws. They can rely on the defense. So I do think you could probably use Booker going forward.
The wide receivers last night, Demaryius Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders, both had fine games from different ways. Demaryius led this team 6 for 40. Did have that touchdown. Led the team with 10 targets. Manny Sanders, 4 catches for 86 yards here on the day. They were the two guys that were involved. Only 14 completions overall for Trevor Siemian. The fact that 10 of the 14 were the Demaryius Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders, no surprise, Scott.
Yeah, and Thomas could have another
Dry
long
out.
Catch if it wasn't called back on a penalty. Yeah, but I think that you know, he likes going to Sanders all over the field. And when he's looking for a big play
yep.
of any sort, whether it's a screen or something downfield, he goes to Thomas, I think. I think Sanders, to me, is a borderline wide receiver one, whereas, well, actually, I don't think I could put him top 12. I think both are nice wide receiver twos.
I agree. I think
yeah.
they're both wide receiver twos. You can play
yeah.
each and every week. Nothing wrong with them. But let's go to the other side of things here, guys. You had Lamar Miller last night, and he cost you being in and out of the game with this injury. Alfred Blue came in, and the frustrating thing is Lamar Miller was running well. His offensive line was creating holes. When Alfred Blue is running well, you know that the line is creating holes
yeah,
for you.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was clear, Ronis, we've said it all year, the way to beat Denver is up the middle, up the gut. And they were doing that with both Lamar Miller and with Albert Blue. How concerned should we be with his injury to Lamar Miller? And I guess Albert Blue is now the clear handcuff.
Yeah, I mean, Blue actually ran well outside of that fumble, though. Never been a big fan of him, but he looked good last night.
Yeah.
I don't know what to make of Miller because on that last drive, which is meaningless, he was out there.
Yep.
And I'm like, what are they doing? Okay,
yep.
You're down 27-9. It's late in the game, and Miller's already dealing with a shoulder injury. You have him in and out. He's missing important drives. I mean, the Alfred Blue fumble was really the turning point of the game. Not that the Texans would have won with the crap that Brock Osweiler was doing out there, but still, that was a critical part of the game. So I don't know why Lamar Miller was out there in that game in the final few minutes. So that would lead you to believe that he's okay.
Yep.
And maybe it was just he would get a few carries and the pain would surface, so then they take him out, and then he'd be like, okay, yeah, it's done now. So the way they handled this is kind of perplexing, so I think you're going to just have to wait it out. But look, when Miller has had good matchups, he's definitely thrived and exploited it.
Yeah, and to Tatum's point, late in the game on that final drive, he threw a screen to Miller, and Miller got crunched,
yeah,
and he got up really slowly.
Yeah, I don't get it. Why is he out there? It's 27-9.
Do we know what the injury was last night?
It was a shoulder.
Yeah. It was what Aqib Talib hit him hard on that shoulder as he went out of bounds. Mm-hmm. And it was funny because it didn't look like anything after that long run to him on the left side.
The broadcasters were saying, we don't know why he's standing not in the game. He's
It took them forever to mention it. And I saw Lamar Miller owners freaking out on Twitter.
Yeah.
I watched the game with the Lamar Miller owner. He was losing his mind. And it was weird that they had him even in the game at the end of the game. They're down 20 points. What are you doing? Just put Tyler Irvin in there or Albert Blue, whoever. No reason to hurt Lamar Miller there. Speaking of hurting, DeAndre Hopkins and Will Fuller are both going to be hurting. And I get this matchup was brutal. I mean, besides Minnesota, this is as tough as it gets. And Seattle, of course, and whatnot. But this is as tough as it gets for a quarterback and for an offense. But guys, particularly on the road, Brock Osweiler is terrible. Like, he is absolutely god-awful at quarterback. Like, one of the worst quarterbacks in the NFL.
Do you know why, though? I mean, look at his road games. At New England, at Minnesota, at Denver. What do you expect?
Nothing. I expect nothing.
Yeah, so...
But do you not think he's awful?
Yeah, against good... I've said it. Against good defenses, you can't play these guys. They got the Lions next week. I'm playing Lamar Miller.
Is it home or in Detroit?
It's home. So I'm playing these guys.
I think you have to play Lamar Miller, obviously.
Playing Hopkins and Fuller.
You play Hopkins and Fuller.
Yeah. To his point, they tried to get to the ball. Well, let me start with his point on Fuller. Fuller's strictly a matchup play right now.
Yeah.
We've seen that already. He can take advantage of a bad matchup. That's why, you know, these guys have evolved to the point, you know, where you can plug him in every week. With Osweiler, it was a bad matchup, but he looked really bad. It's like, what is it, like the second lowest amount of yardage all time on 40 attempts. It's just like, his ball placement isn't good. Aqib Talib said after the game, he said, we knew that his weakness was when you disguise coverages. And even the bad defenses he's going to face are going to see that on film. So that's going to be problematic for Osweiler, who even last week, you know, had to have this late run in order to salvage his fantasy line in a much better matchup. With Hopkins, they made a concerted effort to get him the ball, but no matter who you're playing, the ball placement is not there. The reads are not there. He's very inconsistent. Saw this with Denver last year. You know, sometimes where he looked like he'd be able to fit the ball into a tight window, it's just like there's no kind of consistency. Adam makes the point, yes, the matchups have been very tough, but he hasn't even been able to put up a decent line.
Well, he's thrown two touchdowns in games against the Bears, Titans, and Colts. We don't need Brock Osweiler to go off for Will Fuller and DeAndre Hopkins to have value. So we knew he was doing nothing against the Broncos, Patriots, and Vikings, but these matchups coming up, Lions, Jags, Raiders, Chargers, Packers, you're going to be able to play Fuller.
Yeah. You know what happens, though? It's like we've seen with the Raiders, though, that and sometimes guys can't always take the matchup. I kind of put Brock Osweiler in the Alex Smith box where, like, I don't have confidence he can take advantage of a good matchup necessarily because the way he looks mechanically and decision-making. And we've seen, like, you know, this guy is a good matchup against the Raiders. We've seen it with Alex Smith and Blake Bortles the last 2 weeks. They didn't take advantage of it either.
He had 269 and two touchdowns against the Colts. We're not looking to start Osweiler. We're looking for him to help the values of Fuller and Hopkins. Mm-hmm.
And I think he should be able to in those matchups. But then again, we were thinking the same thing with Allen Robinson this past week.
Well, the thing with Allen Robinson is I think the problem right now, Bortles' mechanics are way off. And the other thing is it seems like the connection with Marquise Lee is there because the passes are shorter. Robinson, they're going more deep, and there's no timing there at all.
Well, I wrote about this morning in the Advanced Scout on rotoexperts.com, part exclusive edge in season fantasy football package. Enter free radio at checkout for a special discount. There's several factors contributing to Allen Robinson. Number one, the play of Bortles. Number two, the playbook. They're not changing anything they do, and defenses see it on film. And number three, that he's dropping the ball too. He's not getting deep, and Bortles is not connecting with him. Sometimes he's dropping it. Sometimes Bortles is not hitting him. So there's a variety of factors contributing to that. When you look at Allen Robinson's upcoming schedule, it's scary too.
Who would you rather have? It's the obvious question going forward. DeAndre Hopkins and Allen Robinson. These two guys, I think, have both, for different ways, let down fantasy owners throughout the season. I'm sure you guys are getting a lot of questions about them on Twitter, in the Exclusive Edge package, in the Ask an Expert feature. So, who would you rather have going forward, Ronis?
Hopkins
or Robinson? How come?
Schedule gets much better. I think he's a more polished receiver at this point. You know, again, even a bad game against the Vikings, he had 16 points in the PPR. He had 9.6 against New England. So I just feel like they will be able to get the ball to him more on shorter routes. And, of course, he could do things after the catch. And, you know, he just had a tough schedule here. So he's got 27 targets the last two games. And he does have 14 receptions. Robinson's doing nothing. And I think that offense is a mess right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
First off, with Robinson, the schedule gets tough. And this week they're playing on a short week. You know, in 3 days they're going to be able to fix things against a Tennessee defense.
It's been pretty good.
That's been pretty good, especially when the matchup is right. I tell people on Roto Experts this morning, don't buy low on Allen Robinson. Stay away.
Stay away from Allen Robinson. Guys, any final takeaways from this Houston-Denver game last night? Scott, I'll start with you.
Final takeaways, I would say Lamar Miller ran really well when he, like you said, when he wasn't hurt. The only thing is he's just not getting in the end zone. I'd still have a lot of confidence in him going forward. I think things are going to get better for this team in terms of the matchups. Like Adam says, the schedule eases up. So, and CJ Fedorish is for real.
Ronis, exactly where I was going to go, because I know you own CJ Fedorowicz in a league. Scotty says he's for real. Had 5 for 35 last night, led the team alongside DeAndre Hopkins. Did have 7 targets, clearly outpacing Ryan Griffin at the moment. Is CJ Fedorowicz for real?
I don't know if I'm going to say for real. He's got a good matchup upcoming against Detroit. We know how bad Detroit is against the tight end, so maybe you use him in a week where 6 teams are on bye. I still think it's going to be a lot of Hopkins and Fuller against the better teams.
When we come back, we're going to look at some NFL Week 7 headlines. We'll get to your waiver wires, of course, for week number 8 as well. Whole lot more to come right here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Returning here on the Roto Experts in the Morning, Scott Engel, Adam Ronis, Greg Sussman. We need to be back on TV soon so people can watch this guy be ridiculous.
That would be a good idea.
Hopefully.
I'm ridiculous?
You are, yes.
You watch wrestling?
Yeah, Scott, you watch NASCAR.
That's a real sport, though.
Yeah, but it's less entertaining than wrestling.
But it's not. But it's real.
I didn't say it wasn't real.
Less entertaining in your opinion.
I'm watching a fictional television
150,000 people in a race think it's more entertaining.
Yeah.
And wrestling sells out quite a bit.
Yeah,
because people like, you know, entertainment.
Right.
I'm talking sports.
I'm not. You called me out for watching wrestling. I found it entertaining. I'm calling you out for watching a sport that I don't think.
Sport that you don't like.
Yes.
But it's still a sport.
So wrestling is what you don't like.
Wrestling's not a
sport. I'm not saying it's a sport.
Yeah.
You are.
Yeah.
Right.
It's like watching a movie.
Yeah, agreed.
Scripted.
Entertaining, though. So, great. Call me out for watching an entertaining movie. Yeah. Fantastic.
You like men in underwear. What am I going to say?
Is that
what it is? You like men with no underwear.
I like that.
I don't know where you're going with that.
I wish I thought of
that. Let the barbs be accurate.
They are.
They are.
They're not.
Oh, they are.
I only like you when you're wearing no underwear, honey.
That's on the record. That's kind of scary.
Well, for more about Scott, you can go to the Exclusive Edge chat later today.
Actually, that's with George Kurtz tonight. So
you know what?
We've actually
replaced George Kurtz with you. You'll be in your underwear giving a chat.
You like talking about underwear, don't you?
You're the one that brought it up.
Do you wear a cup in kickball?
No.
No?
No.
Yeah. What if you get hit in the nuts with the kickball?
That would suck.
It would, right?
That would suck.
Big ball, right?
Yeah.
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 Finally, yeah.
Finally what?
What?
What do you mean what?
What?
You said
it's a 9 o'clock tonight. It's George Kirk.
Well, you said it's a big ball. Finally. I don't know. I'm not getting off of this. You made a joke that didn't make sense, and you just tried to move past it.
Think about it.
Oh, it still doesn't make sense.
Yeah, think about it. I can't digress. You'll have to use your intelligence to figure that one out.
You talked about one big ball. Yeah. I have multiple. I'm assuming you have multiple.
Yes, too.
So what the hell is he talking about?
Who knows?
You finally have a – well, I can't fully go there.
You can't make it make sense. That's what the problem is.
You have to be smart like you usually are and figure
smart.
It out.
I just think your joke doesn't make sense.
All right. I'll tell you during the break.
All right.
Yeah.
So the big news from yesterday is that ESPN, the worldwide leader in sports, has officially made Ty Montgomery eligible at running back. Aaron Rodgers after a little clap from Scott
I applaud Hall. Them.
Interesting. How come?
But I think it's the right thing to do. Matthew Berry came out yesterday and tweeted about it. And they listened to their user base, which is good. And nothing against Yahoo Sports. Yahoo says they're not doing anything right now. And this takes us back to when people were calling for this from Marcus Colston, and certain sites did it and certain sites didn't. And sorry to interrupt you there with my clapping, but I applaud them. I think it's a good move.
It's interesting because Aaron Rodgers after the game says, listen, we look at Ty Montgomery as a running back now. We're going to utilize him out of the backfield more often. So it makes sense from that regard. However, I did see a tweet this morning saying Martellus Bennett has actually lined up on 37% of his snaps as a wide receiver. Should he be wide receiver eligible? Well, no, of course not. He's a tight end. But obviously Montgomery, and I don't know the snap percentages at running back compared to what he's playing at wide receiver. Obviously, there was primetime games with Montgomery, so we all watched that. Him at running back, it's been a big deal. What do you think of the move?
Here's the problem. What's the precedent? What are the rules? We have clear rules before the year in baseball. We don't in football.
Right.
So now this leaves it to open into interpretation. And then
right. Different across different platforms.
Right. I've seen other sites said they're not going to change it. And so that's the problem. And now you're going to have people in your leagues where a commissioner has access. Well, ESPN did it. Why can't we do it on our site? You have access. Can you change it? So I just think there needs to be clear rules. That's the problem.
Absolutely.
The problem is we just, with baseball, a guy will play short one day and second the next. You don't see that in football. It's not
well,
like,
that's why you always need to prepare for things that could happen.
But this could be a lesson learned for a lot of the sites, too. Like, what happens? Like
we dealt with this maybe with Marcus Colston in Yahoo years ago. Remember, he came up as a tight end because he was a tight end at Hofstra.
Maybe we should do what we do in baseball, which is like if a guy plays a certain amount of games at a certain position, he becomes eligible.
Well, that's why these rules need to be established.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I think that's a good way to do it. Once Ty Montgomery plays two games at running back, he becomes eligible. Three games at running back, he becomes eligible.
But it should be, and if that's true, I agree with Ronis that these sites need to make it very, very clear. I believe FanDuel also has made Ty Montgomery a running back.
Yes, they have.
So I think that needs to be very, very clear. If it is a certain percentage of the snaps at running back, like if
snap count,
if Ty Montgomery is a running back, right, and he becomes a free agent, right? These are all hypotheticals. None of this will happen. I just wanted to bring it up. He's a free agent. If he needs to be franchise tagged, would he be franchise tagged as a running back or a wide receiver? That's a big difference in money, no doubt. I think with snap count, it does need to be established across sites, right? So in baseball, which we keep bringing up, certain sites use one game. Certain new sites use five games. Certain sites use 10 and then 20. You have these sites that you're like, okay, in 20 games, they played second base. They're now a second baseman, and that's fine. It's established. We understand it. In football, which is there's only 16 games per team.
Right.
There's only 16 weeks, 17 weeks total.
Right.
We can't have 20 games, obviously, at a position. It needs to be some snap count or snap count percentage or something of that ilk so we know, so we understand. So if you're playing on Yahoo and you see your ESPN friends have this running back, they need to explain why, right? ESPN, you said Matthew Berry released a statement saying, here's why we're making him a running back. Well, has Yahoo reached a statement saying why we haven't? I don't know. I think it's something we should reach out to our friends in the fantasy community and figure out because I think it's a big deal.
Yeah, and there was no quotes from ESPN. I'd like to know exactly why they came to that decision. I think it's obvious, but I'd like to hear from somebody at ESPN exactly why they did
that. I thought
you
said Matthew Berry made a statement about it. No,
he just you know, made a statement that we've listened to our users and, you know.
Well, that's why. So that, I guess that's the statement they're going to make because he's the face of fantasy for ESPN.
Yeah.
So I guess that's probably the statement they're going to make.
Actually, I don't know if it was Barry that said, but it was like an ESPN story that said, you know, that they've listened to their user base.
Okay. So will the other sites listen to their user base or not?
Not. We'll have to wait and see. For now, Yahoo says they're not making any changes. I'd like to see what NFL.com does because they're the NFL.
Right. You know? Yeah. It's a great point. And even what Green Bay will list it as. So I think there's a lot more here. We'll have to figure out. We'll kind of take it as we get it here in the coming days. In other news, Tevin Coleman looks like it's going to be out for a little while here with his hamstring injury. Mike Smith immediately in the press conference yesterday said, we don't know this week, but we don't like our chances of getting Tevin Coleman on the
field.
Rex
Ryan, take note.
It is a hamstring injury for Tevin Coleman. He had some hamstring injuries last year. They're going to take their time. Expect Tevin Coleman to miss a couple weeks. I don't believe their bye is until week 11 either. So, unfortunately, the Falcons are going to go a week or two without Tevin Coleman. I guess there's even a chance they go up until a bye without Coleman. What would that be, 3 weeks? Depending on how severe this hamstring injury is, Tevin Coleman could be out for a while, which makes Devonta Freeman, obviously, he's been an RB1, but now his value even skyrockets more.
Oh, definitely. He's looked so good, too. Every time I've seen him this year, man, he is running so hard. Last week, the stats really don't tell the picture of how well he was running. So, yeah, it gives him a big boost because, obviously, he's been splitting with Coleman, still getting the majority of the touches. But you don't have to worry this week and the upcoming weeks of, will Freeman be in there at the goal line? It'll be all him.
Yep.
You might see his receptions go up a little bit because we've seen very few games this year of 20 carries for Freeman. We will now. We've seen one game this year, and that was against Denver. Expect 20-plus carries this week and, you know, 4, 5, 6 receptions. So, yes, Freeman's going to be a big play this week. I didn't even see. Who did they play? I forgot.
They played Green Bay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Green Bay's been pretty good against the run.
Or have they?
Right. Well, they've been against everyone except Zeke.
Well, everyone they played has been bad, right?
Yeah. This past week, would they play the Bears? I mean, Jordan Howard's been.
But the Bears.
Kadeem Carey had a couple nice runs.
But Mac Barkley, a quarterback, was very tough.
Plus, they can get Freeman out in space.
To me, Freeman's, I don't care who he's facing at this point.
Right.
He's in the lineup every week. So I would probably look to him in daily. I know on DraftKings last week, he was 5,900, and obviously the prices came out yesterday without this news, so I would think Freeman is pretty affordable this week.
Against Green Bay, I agree with you. This is like, to me, this is like them facing Ezekiel Elliott. You're facing a top five fantasy running back, and I'm not worried about the great Green Bay defense against the rush because when you're facing a great running back who's by himself and a good offense, we're good with it.
Yeah, and you know, this goes back to what we saw from Freeman last year. A heavy workload, but you don't want Coleman to be out for too long because you don't want Freeman to hit a wall like he did last year.
No, you don't. You don't. Yeah. But I don't think it's going to happen. He's been kept fresh with Tevin Coleman. Coleman will come back a little bit later on.
Yeah.
I feel good. Quite frankly, I feel good, very good, as a Devonta Freeman owner. LeSean McCoy, you made a joke about it. Take note, Rex Ryan. He's a legitimate question mark, again, with his hamstring injury in what is perhaps the biggest game of the year for Buffalo, facing New England this week. McCoy would have had a week off, probably would have been fine for this week. Instead, a question mark again runs.
And they're saying it's the same status as last week, where it'll be questionable week, it'll be game time. I just don't see how you can feel good. Look, McCoy owners probably got burned last week for those that last minute said, all right, you know what, I'm going to play him. I just don't see how you can trust him again this week. We'll know more as the week goes on, but it's going to be the same story. So I'm leaning towards sitting him.
What would you do, Scotty, if he is active on Sunday?
I'm leaning towards sit him. It was very easy for the Dolphins to defend him last week. It's not like they had to. The thing about McCoy is when he's healthy, and I liken this to like the Russell Wilson situation.
Right.
These guys want to go out there and they still want to play. I understand that athlete mentality, but Wilson's not himself. McCoy's not himself. McCoy, when he's himself, he's so dangerous because he's the best cutback runner in the league. He makes defenders miss better than anybody in football. When you saw Miami, they didn't have to have that kind of discipline where the thing what McCoy does is, like, he jukes a defender out of his shoes. Like, a defender has to be very, very disciplined and really anticipate. You didn't see any of that. You just saw 1 yard, cloud of dust, and that's it. It's like he's not himself. If LeSean McCoy can't cut, I don't want him in my fantasy lineup.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think we went down that road already. There's no reason to go back. We saw how that could have affected us, quite obviously, this past Sunday. I'm not buying LeSean McCoy this week with that hamstring injury. One more injury taking people out, and that's Geno Smith. Geno Smith officially out for the year with a torn ACL. Ryan Fitzpatrick is back. And Scott, it's very, very clear. We talked about it on yesterday's show that the Jets are done just letting Fitzpatrick throw all over the field and have free reign of this offense. He threw 14 times when he came in. They ran hard with Matt Forte, used Bilal Powell. This week, they're facing the Cleveland Browns, and I like Ryan Fitzpatrick better for Brandon Marshall and Quincy Nunua.
Yeah.
But I think this offense has changed a little bit where they're going to rely much more on the run than on Fitzpatrick's right shoulder.
Well, what Adam pointed out, and what we got to remember what he said yesterday, with Fitzpatrick, a lot of his mistakes have come from playing from behind.
Right.
What are the odds that they're going to be playing from behind in Cleveland this week?
Right.
Not good. So I think you have to – because when Forte's going well, that can set up play action to Marshall, et cetera. I think you can be okay with the Jets' offense this week just because they're going to stay in the game. Wouldn't shock me to see them lose at Cleveland. I think it'd be hysterical. You know, it kind of sets up in a Jet sort of script for them to lose at Cleveland. But I think the offense will be viable for fantasy purposes this week for sure.
Against Cleveland, and we've talked about this a lot, that Ryan Fitzpatrick and the Jets have had a very, very tough schedule thus far. It eases up a little bit. Maybe we'll see some of that Fitz magic we saw last year on us.
I wouldn't be counting on that. I still think that this offense still has issues. I think the absence of Eric Decker is huge. Look, Fitzpatrick will look for Marshall, but I do think that the Jets want to shift to a run-focused offense. We saw it against Buffalo in Week 2 when they were playing from ahead, and we saw it this past week when they had a lead against the Ravens, and you would assume that they can have a lead against Cleveland. Again, I wouldn't rule them losing either, depending on what happens with Cleveland's situation at quarterback. They have some injuries, but this looks like another heavy week of Matt Forte, and it's hurting Bilal Powell right now.
There's so much optimism again in Jetland now after they beat the Ravens. Can you imagine what the outlook's going to be if they lose to Cleveland?
Yeah, that would be bad. That would be bad.
Yeah.
Okay, how about some guys that are returning? Some good news here. And that is Dez Bryant. Dez Bryant, all along we assumed he would be back this week. Now the tea leaves say he is. Tony Romo will not, but Dez Bryant will be in action this week for Dallas Sunday Night Football against Philadelphia, Ronis.
Yeah, I think we all know he would come back at this time, and obviously will certainly help the offense. And we saw Dak Prescott still having a good rapport with him. I think a lot of people were worried. Oh, no, Dak Prescott. I think that's kind of passed at this point. So I think if you have Dez Bryant, for the most part, you're going to use him. Hopefully many teams have been able to survive without him. He was an early pick. So I think if you have Dez Bryant, you're, for the most part, getting him in there this week.
Along with Dez Bryant returning, Jay Cutler is returning. No surprise here. Cutler cleared to practice and play as soon as Brian Hoyer goes down. Play on Monday Night Football against Minnesota.
Yeah, and I wrote about this in the Advanced Scout on rotoexperts.com this morning. Part of your exclusive Edge in Season Fantasy Football Package. Enter free radio checkout for a discount. And you'll also chat with George Kurtz at 9 tonight Eastern. But I said this gives me some hope for Alshon Jeffrey because these guys have had a long-time connection. Jeffrey has yet to get in the end zone, but the yardage numbers were pretty darn good in the 7 quarters that Cutler played at the beginning of the season. Cutler and Jeffrey, they know each other well. I think I'm not looking to start Jay Cutler, of course, but I think, you know, it boosts me a little that I can get some better production for Alshon Jeffrey.
Alshon Jeffrey is, I think, in a much better position with Jay Cutler obviously coming back, not this week against Minnesota, but in a much better position coming back.
That's what I wrote. After
Minnesota.
After Week 8. Yeah,
of course,
yeah.
Of course. We'll see what this does for Cameron Meredith. However, let's talk to you at 844-843-6879, 844-843-6879. Steve in Cincinnati, you are up first here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. Appreciate you taking my call.
Absolutely.
You can leave me on the radio while you answer. I appreciate it. So I have a trade proposal. I own Blunt and Randall Cobb, and the trade proposal is for Odell Beckham. I also have Antonio Brown, Allen Robinson, Chris Hogan, And then my running backs are Gio, Carlos Hyde, Ryan Matthews. And Jay Ajayi. So I figured I might be able to slot Ajayi in and make this trade and really shore up. I can start two wide receivers, two running backs, and a flex.
What's your record?
Would you guys make that deal?
What's your record?
4-3.
4-3. I think you can afford to make it. I think, you know, if somebody's making this trade because they're on, because Beckham's on a bye this week, on straight value, I absolutely love it. I think if you can get by without Beckham for this week, I'd definitely make this deal.
Okay. All right. Thank you. I appreciate it.
That brings up something interesting. It's
yep.
like, you know, and that's like people want to trade a guy because he's on a bye.
Sure.
You know, and sometimes for the other owner, that's a mistake, but this is something like Steve that he can take advantage of.
Again, I think if a team's like 2-5, they kind of have to do it. You know, that's why I was saying yesterday, you look at those teams that are 2-5, 3-4 with good players on a bye. They might be quick to make a trade, especially the Antonio Brown owner, because he doesn't know if Ben Roethlisberger is going to be back and Brown has a bye this week. So this could be a good week if you're sitting near the top, that you actually make a trade for Antonio Brown, because we've already seen that his value is not taking a huge hit with Landry Jones at quarterback, and there's a chance that Roethlisberger returns in Week 9. So you might be able to get Antonio Brown from a 2-5, 3-4 team right now for a lower cost than you would have 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, and those are both good points. You know, I think you look at both sides of it. You know, in leagues with less experienced players, I think sometimes I've seen people will trade a guy because he's on a guy or on a bye, or cut a guy because he's injured. So depending on the league you play in, both of those are true.
Ronis, you were talking just yesterday that you very well could trade Antonio Brown, or at least throw him out on the market and see what you can get this week because of the bye.
Yeah, in that league, it's doubleheaders. I'm 6-8, two games out of a playoff spot, but a few teams ahead of me and dropped in points after a bad week. So I might trade him if I can get like two good players at this point. You know,
yeah, I might too. I'm 3-4 in one league.
I'm looking, you know, there's teams 11-3, 10-4, and the 11-3 team has like DeAndre Hopkins and maybe, let's see. You know, I'm looking at that. I want to get a running back too. This guy doesn't have one. I mean, I don't think he would do Hilton and Hopkins for Brown. I would try it. I would love to do that. But there was a team that had Melvin Gordon that's near the top. So maybe Melvin Gordon and a wide receiver for Antonio Brown.
Let's go back to you, Terry, from the Jersey Shore. You are up next here on the Road to Experts in the Morning. What's up, Terry?
What's up, Terry?
Oh,
Terry.
We lost Terry. We lost Terry. I'm sure she'll come back. But
come back, Terry.
Before she comes back, we will take a break. When we come back, it's time to visit the Week 7 waiver wire to go to Week 8. We'll figure out who to pick up because I don't know of any guys that I want. I'll ask Ronis and I'll ask Engel. Hopefully they can help me. We'll do it next here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. We return here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Scott Engel, Adam Ronis, Greg Sussman. We are the Roto Experts. We go to 10 a.m. Eastern Time. Fantasy Best Friends Forever coming up next. Is Terry back, Vivona? All right, let's go back to Terry from the Jersey Shore. Terry, you're on the Roto Experts in the Morning.
Oh, good morning, guys.
Hey, Terry.
Nice to talk to you.
Sure.
Listen, I have a 12-team standard with bonus points after 100 yards and receiving. I'm sitting pretty in one, but the trade, it's a trade to anyone in the league. This person has Dez, Hopkins, Robinson, Edelman, and Chris Thomas, I guess. Offering two wide receivers for one good running back. I don't know if I need this. I'm sitting with Mike Evans, Snead, and Cobb. That's my only three wide receivers. But I have Freeman and Coleman. I have DeMarco Murray and Henry. I have Matt Jones. I have Spencer Ware. I picked up the running back last night. I can't even think of his name. Poopax for the Broncos.
Devontae
Booker.
Yeah, I picked up Booker. Am I giving up any of my top wide receivers for two of these guys?
I would think you'd be giving up a
or
running.
Or even one for one?
A running. I don't see why you give up a wide receiver. I think you want to strengthen a wide receiver. You said this guy needs a running back?
Yeah, he wants a running back from someone, a good running back. So I know Freeman and DeMarco are at the top of my list because they're not hurt. And I have McCoy, who's hurt, and I have Coleman, who's hurt. I have Matt Jones. I have,
Ware, too.
Ware.
I would see, like, you know, what you can get for Spencer Ware. Like, maybe if you can get Dez and Hopkins here, you know, if he'd do something like that. If he's willing to do two for one, I'd be willing to do that.
And what if he can do one for one? Can I still give him Ware?
I would probably try to turn it into a two for two and, you know, try to get those, like, maybe go Dez and, you know, Ware and Snead and, you know, see if he'll bite. Like, give him a second wide receiver back so it makes it kind of like, you know, eases in his mind on the other end. You know, but
Should I give him Matt Jones?
I don't know. Matt Jones is good. Unless he's not reading the updates, Matt Jones came off of 10-carry, 27-yard game, and they're talking about him losing his starting job. So I think that'd be a hard sell.
Okay. All right. So I'll put it out there to him and maybe just, you know, get a better wide receiver.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And you think Dez, you said?
Yeah. Yeah, Dez is coming back, and Hopkins' schedule is easing up, so that's who I'd look at.
Okay, there you go. Right. There you go. All right, let's get on the week 8 waiver wire, gentlemen, which to me looks a little thin. Like, I have a list of players here that I have put in, and I don't really necessarily want any of them.
Well, here's the issue with that, though. You don't want them, but when you have six teams on a bye, Greg, you may need them.
Absolutely. Yeah. You're absolutely right. So, let me start off with a guy that I put at the top of the list, and we'll see what you guys think. We'll start with Ronis here. Chris Thompson, Ian Washington. Matt Jones, after a good day, which you pointed out last week, Ronis, came in garbage time. One 50-plus yard run, came late in the game, inflated the numbers despite looking good. Matt Jones had as brutal of a day as you can have this past weekend against Detroit. Chris Thompson outsnapped him. He looked better. Now Washington plays in London here on Sunday morning. What do you think of Chris Thompson as a pickup this week?
Yeah, I think he's a good pickup. I actually own him in a couple leagues. I kept him all year. I actually liked him going into the year because I thought he could catch 55 passes. And he took over as the main back when Matt Jones had the fumbling issues on Sunday, his third fumble in five games, and he had 12 carries, 73 yards, but he caught seven passes for 40. So I think he can help in PPR formats. I don't think this is a guy that you're going to bang between the tackles consistently every game, but he has at least 8 points in PPR formats in six of seven games, and his role could grow. So, yeah, I'm looking at Thompson this week.
Yeah, you don't – by the way, is that another guy that we cut in the FNTSY
Yes, we did.
Cup?
Yeah,
yes.
I wanted to draft
we're
him.
Cutting
so.
Everybody we should have cut. but he makes a good point about the receiving, because I don't know in rushing if they trust him with a full load. You know, it could be rushing-wise where you see a little bit more of Rob Kelly there, and they give the ball to Chris Thompson more too, especially near the goal line. But with receiving abilities, when he's out on the field, it gives the Redskins another dimension with their running game that they don't have with Jones and Kelly, because you can flare him out in the passing game. So I think there's something of a floor enough for where, especially if you're looking for help in a bye week, which you may be, Greg, I think he's a good pickup.
How much money would you spend on Chris Thompson this week, Scotty?
Well, considering, you know, putting things in context, let's say context, I need a running back on a bye week.
Yep.
Maybe I'm down, guys, because of injuries. I lost Coleman. I'd be willing to go over $20 here.
Over $20 for Chris Thompson. Ronis?
I think 7% to 10%.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think 7% to 10% gets the job done. I think over $20 is steep.
I think this could be a guy who might have a floor for the long term here.
He might. I just don't know how high that
I think
floor
it depends on your
week.
Situation, though, too. Like,
well, anything
what's
does.
Your record? You know, what's your situation? It's, you know, how aggressive do you have to be? How much money do you have left?
Yeah, for sure. And how desperate you need somebody, of course.
I would, depending on the situation, I would go anywhere from $10 to $22.
Okay. Next guy I have on my list here is somebody I brought up yesterday to you guys. And Scott, you actually talked about him last week. I said I had, quote, no idea who the hell that was, unquote. And now I'm interested in picking him up. And that's Peyton Barber in Tampa Bay. I assume Jaquizz Rodgers is owned. And I'm not buying that Doug Martin's coming back anytime soon. Because of that, because of Quiz Rogers' build, I don't know if he could handle touching the ball 30 times a game. I don't know if that's realistic. And I understand that Tampa Bay doesn't play San Francisco each and every week. But if Quiz Rogers, and if I don't think that Quiz Rogers is touching the ball 30 times a game, and I don't believe in Doug Martin, that means I believe in Peyton Barber. And I don't think he's going to cost you all that much, but he could be somebody that down the stretch is very vital.
I don't think we believe in Jacquizz Rogers to continue carrying a heavy load.
Yeah.
I think he can be efficient in a timeshare. I think those become a timeshare because you got one guy that's 5'6", 205.
Yep.
And obviously we all believe he can't last doing this. But the other guy's 5'11", 225. I think you got a perfect recipe for a timeshare here, Greg.
Yep.
It's one guy is quick. He's a slasher. He can catch the ball out of the backfield. The other can bang it between the tackles and be a goal line finisher. I think you make an excellent forward-looking projection.
Yep.
By picking up Peyton Barber. I like him. I would be willing to go $14, $15 on him.
Ronis? I don't think you need to go $14.
Yeah, I would go less. I don't think you need to either.
I tend to be aggressive if I need the guy.
Unless you're in a very savvy league. I still think, obviously, Jacquizz Rogers is the lead here. I think that was apparent from this past week. My biggest concern is he going to hold up over this workload? I mean, it's just too much that they're giving him right now. So, Barber came in late in a great matchup against the 49ers. You know, I think even Scott could pick up half a yard against the 49ers. They're so bad.
Sure.
So
usually on Madden, I can do a lot more than that.
Yeah, it's a video game. It's entertainment, going back to our earlier conversation.
Yeah, but we all play fantasy football, so.
But not fantasy Madden.
There are people that play fantasy Madden, yes. It's got a fantasy mode.
You could pick up Barber, though, I think, for cheaper.
Thank you. How much? What is it?
7 to 10% again, maybe even less.
I think less.
But just in case, there could be people that also in the league that are savvy.
Okay, so assume you're in a savvy league, right? You want Peyton Barber for thinking forward. I know there's a lot of teams to buy, so I don't even know if you have the ability to just hold on and stash him. I don't know if that's possible. But like, what kind of guy, Ronis? I know this is such a broad question that I hate asking, but what kind of guy would you drop for Peyton Barber? Like, who's the type of guy where you're like, you know what? I'll cut B. Like, are you cutting?
Somebody just jumped into my mind. I have two of them on my roster.
Are you cut Michael Floyd for Peyton Barber?
It depends how bad I need a running back.
Okay.
I don't want to cut Floyd now. Jerron Brown, torn ACL out for the year. I know John Brown could play this week, though, so that doesn't help Floyd that much. But I think we could see Floyd have to play more snaps. And we saw even in a bad game, he had 11 points in a PPR.
Michael Floyd was banged up, too, now, though, I believe.
Hamstring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
They say he's going to be good for next week.
Yeah, I saw. Great.
But here's the thing.
Yeah.
Is that I want to preface this by saying that there are guys that you picked up last week who you went after, and now you're saying, okay, I can cut him this week. That's good for Peyton Barber's spot because I'm not keeping Mike Davis. So, you know, that's the type of guy in my mind that, like, even if it's not one of my larger leagues, I have a Mike Davis type. I can cut him and just slide Barber into that spot.
Mike Davis, that one makes sense. I agree with that.
I think a lot of teams usually have.
They're on bye, and we already saw that was a three-headed monster, and Carlos Hyde could be back in week 9 anyway.
Yep. Okay, that's a good one. That's a good one. Let me see if I can think of anybody else.
I think you're cutting guys on bye who have, like, questionable
low upside. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. That's reasonable.
A guy where you say even in a bye week, I don't feel comfortable putting him in my lineup.
What about Kadeem Carey? I know you mentioned him earlier in regards to playing Green Bay. He had a very even split with Jordan Howard. What about Kadeem Carey, Ronis?
Yeah, I think you could add him up. It is probably looking like it's a split at this point. They have the Vikings this week, though, so that's a problem. I don't think you're going to feel good about that, even with Jay Cutler back. So it would be someone that you're looking at long-term, and I think a lot of people have to look at this week with six teams on buys and injuries. I think almost everyone has a player or two on their bench that are injured that they're hoping to get back in a couple weeks. So it's really hard to stash players right now.
Yeah, it's like, you know, there was a report that Thomas Rawls is going to come back in 2 weeks. But, you know, do you really have room to stash him? It's like everybody wants to stash Deion Lewis, and, you know, we have no idea. But, you know, more waiver help tonight, 9 o'clock, Roto Experts. George Kurtz with his waiver chat, part of your exclusive Edge in-season fantasy football package on rotoexperts.com. Enter free radio checkout for a special discount. You can also read Mike Florio's complete waiver report and recommendations.
You know, I talked to actually Mike Florio about this before I put our waiver report together, and he was the one that gave us our next pick here, and that's actually Don Jackson in Green Bay. I know he's banged up. I know he's got that, what, arm injury? You know, that's what it was. We haven't heard a report since last week. But is this a team, Scott, that's going to roll with Ty Montgomery, the newly christened ESPN running back? Or are they going to turn back to Don Jackson at some point? And those that dropped Don Jackson this week may feel a little left out.
A lot of times in the NFL, when a guy like Eddie Lacy, who's put on a team for a reason, and we see this with Adrian Peterson too, when he goes down, there's not a singular answer to replacing him, because guys like Peterson, guys like Lacy have such a dynamic skill set that they can be the main guy. But sometimes when that main guy goes down, it takes two, sometimes three guys to replace him. I believe it can be a combination of Montgomery, who's flourishing in that role, but
yep.
they also want to have a pure
running back
look.
Right. Yep.
Which is Don Jackson in the short term.
Sure.
But it can still be Niall Davis in the shorter term. So I believe Montgomery's so solid in his role, but who's really going to run? Who's going to take that other role and run with it? Maybe it's Don Jackson, and he gets the chance this week, and if he doesn't run with it, we'll look at Niall Davis maybe next week.
Would you rather own Don Jackson, Niall Davis, or James Starks?
Jackson.
Okay. When we come back, those are the... Davis, you'd rather own. Interesting. Okay. Well, those are the running backs, gentlemen, that you wanted. Let's go over the wide receivers next when we come back for hour number two of the Roto Experts in the Morning.
Roto Experts in the Morning with your host Greg Sussman, Adam Ronis, and Scott Engel is on now.
Number two of the Roto Experts in the Morning Hour is here live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. 844-843-6879-844-84-FNTSY. Remember to call in. And during the break, Ronis and Engel having a good discussion. And I'm talking about waiver wire wide receivers. And we're trying to, in the next 2 weeks with our six buys, we're trying to manage our team, still make some pickups on the waiver wire, but manage properly. And Rona's made a really interesting point for the team that they share. He goes, should we cut Cameron Meredith? And Scott's like, Cameron Meredith, why would we cut him? And Rona's goes, well, they play Minnesota this week, we're not going to play them. And they have a bye next week. And then we get to that, who the heck knows? And that's an interesting spot, Rona's, because as good as Cameron Meredith has been, you know you're not playing him at least the next 2 weeks. And then when you get into what, week 10? Like, who the hell knows where you'll be or what you'll be or what's going on with the Bears in general anyway? That is not necessarily a short-sighted move, but it's a move for now, and I think that's what fantasy players hear, that we're more than halfway through the regular season now. That is what you're going to have to do. Make moves for the now, not necessarily for the future.
Yeah, and especially us, we need a win. We need to win every week to keep our season alive. So it's not a worry about stashing players at this point. And we have Brandon Cooks, Randall Cobb, and Sanders, and we only start two wide receivers in a flex. And I'm leaving out Allen Robinson, who probably is going to be on our bench this week. So
Jesus, it sucks.
It's probably not like Meredith's going to see our lineup. Again, he's just an option to be cut. So we do have two quarterbacks right now as well, so we could cut one of them. Russell Wilson already had his bye, but obviously the numbers haven't been there. But this is against New Orleans. If we can't play Russell Wilson this week, why do we have him on our roster? It's the way I'm going to look at it. So our other quarterback is Cousins, who plays in against Cincinnati and London this week. Then he has a bye. Oh, then he has Minnesota. So I'm okay with using Cousins this week. Don't love him. Again, they pass a lot, so he could have a decent game. But if we got Russell Wilson against the Saints, I think this might be a week that we have to use Russ.
Yeah, he could do something like he did against the Jets
a
few weeks ago. I'm thinking of cutting Duke Johnson, too. We got Peyton Barber and Kadeem Carey out there, too.
No, there's a better running back. But in case someone's listening, I won't say it.
Okay.
Oh.
Then we do have, we have Devontae Burke, but we got C.J. Anderson, too. So it's like you kind of don't want to play both.
Right.
There's a better one than the one that we put in for?
Oh, no. That was the one I was talking about.
Okay. I'm thinking about grabbing, like, one of those other two as well, though.
Would you drop Duke Johnson for one of those other two rooms? Peyton Barber?
I don't want to drop Duke Johnson, especially if McCown comes back, which is a possibility.
Yeah. All right. Let's get to the wide receivers since you guys are being all so secretive with your waiver wire.
I don't know who's listening, you know?
Exactly.
The FNTSY Cup and this FNTSY Radio, so.
Let's get into the wide receivers here. Number one, I think. Yes, correct me if I'm
by
wrong.
By the way, before we go on, I'm sorry. Pat Mayo does his waiver ranks. He has Kadeem Carey at number 13.
Okay.
Would you let me ask you these, just have a little fun here, if it's okay. Kadeem Carey, Cameron Artis Payne.
Kadeem Carey.
Kadeem Carey, Tim Hightower.
But like, so you're naming guys that are higher on Mayo's rankings, right?
Yeah.
But I understand why they're ranked there, because they're strictly handcuffs.
Right.
And the thing with Kadeem Carey is Jeremy Langford should be back soon. If Jordan Howard went down, it wouldn't be all Kadeem Carey. If Ingram goes down, it's going to be all Tim Hightower. If Stewart goes down, it's mostly going to be Cameron Artis Payne. We've seen that. And I think that's why Mayo has them higher than a Kadeem Carey.
Okay. Good
just,
point.
Just clarifying that. Let's get to the wide receivers, though, where there's a bunch of guys. Again, I don't really know if I want these guys, but they're all out there. And I want to start with Marquise Lee, who we talked about a little bit yesterday. I know you guys talked about him on the Fantasy Best Friends Forever as well. Marquise Lee had a good game, over 100 yards receiving. I know they faced Tennessee this week. Allen Robinson has been struggling. Blake Bortles, in general, the Jaguars' offense has been struggling. What do you think of Marquise Lee, Scott?
I think with six teams on a bye, he's definitely viable. You know, I saw them, like, starting about 3 weeks ago, him working into the flow of the passing game. If they can't get the ball to Allen Robinson downfield, which has been a big issue, you know, Marquise Lee is kind of more the move-the-sticks guy. Allen Hurts is not a move-the-sticks guy. You know, they found their move-the-sticks guy. You know, this is why they drafted all these guys, why they drafted Robinson and Lee, you know, together, because they felt like they had complementary skill sets.
They are complementary skill sets, but right. What do you think of Marquise Lee this week? And I know a lot of people have been out on Allen Hurns, both the touchdown regression and because of Marquise Lee. What do you think of that situation?
Right now, it seems like he has the best rapport with Blake Bortles. I don't know if that's saying much, but he leads the team with 29 receptions,
right,
which is insane. And he's second in receiving yards with 337. So he's been getting targets, so I think you could use him. I don't love it because, again, I don't want to put faith in Blake Bortles right now in this Jags offense. But with the bye week issues, I think he's in play.
He is in play only because of the bye week. So how much would you spend for him?
Not much at all. Like 5-6%. I don't want to invest much.
I'd spend $4.
Oh my God! You went lower than Ronis for a guy?
I don't think there's going to be a lot of competition for him.
Oh my God. Okay, so there's no competition for Marquise Lee. Who is there going to be competition for the waiver wire, wide receiver wise? Is it Jamison Crowder, Ronis? I know Jordan Reed could be back this week with that concussion. We'll see if they let him fly to London, but he really took a back seat early on in this year. After the first couple games, he stepped up, took a back seat. Jordan Reed goes down, he steps back up. What about Jamison Crowder?
No, I think you got to add him. Right now, the Redskins are having major problems with the deep ball. That's why you're seeing DeSean Jackson not do much. Just Cousins can't connect with him, and I think it's opening things underneath for Crowder. I think, of course, it does coincide with Jordan Reed being out. We're still seeing Vernon Davis get targets, but not as much as Jordan Reed. Vernon Davis had, what, 6 targets, I think, this past week? If Jordan Reed's on the field, he's going to get 12, so
right,
that will cut into Crowder. But still, he's got at least 12 points in PPR formats in 3 straight. He's coming off a game where he had 7 for 108. So, yeah, I think Crowder is definitely someone I would add.
Crowder, for you, Scotty, even though Jordan Reed's coming back, Ronis brings up a good point. Targets are going to go down, but he's involved in the red zone, which is obviously a very good thing. What do you think, Jamison Crowder?
This guy has been a regular scoring option for them. I understand where Adam's coming from.
Mm-hmm.
You got to take it on a week-to-week basis. You know, when does Jordan Reed come back? If he doesn't this week, you know, here's a guy that you can use again on a bye week. So there's a nice floor in PPR.
There's a nice floor in PPR. So how much you spend on him?
I would be willing to spend about $12 on him.
Ronis?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the same range.
All right. So the wide receivers, you guys, so far in the same range. Not really buying Marquise Lee. Spending $12 or so on Jamison Crowder. I know we spoke about this guy last week. And I think with the Thursday game, with so long ago now, people kind of forget. Davante Adams. I know we don't really know what to make of this because we never know what to make when Davante Adams goes off. But what do you think, Scott, about Davante Adams? Is it for real? Is he going to be utilized like he was last week? How much are you spending on Davante Adams?
I think ideally this team wants to get Jordy Nelson back involved, but I don't know if Atlanta's going to play man on him this week or not. If they do, Desmond Trufant can shut him down. I think it really depends on game flow and who's open, and he's the number three option, but he's inconsistent. Now he'll get more defensive attention. I think he's boom or bust every week. I think he's what we wanted John Brown to be.
Yeah, I agree. I think he is boom or bust, and people are going to overpay for him coming off this performance. But if Trufant does get Jordy, it could open up more targets again. Remember, Aaron Rodgers threw the ball about 70 times in that game, and that's not going to happen every week. We have seen Adams getting...
Or maybe it will.
Nah, it's not going to happen. Not every week.
Who are they going to run the ball with?
They're going to try it with Jackson, Davis, or Montgomery.
I don't know. I really think they might throw the ball 70 times a game. I really think it's possible.
Nah, it's just unrealistic. No one throws that much every week, even the bad teams. It's just they don't. So, I add him. Yeah, I'm not going to spend a lot of money on him because it's going to be tough to predict. You know, he has scored in 4 of 6 games, but he has 50 yards or less in 3 of those games. So, it clearly is a boom or bust. I do think there'll be a pass every team, but... it's going to be spread out. I think Cobb's the one guy you can rely on right now. And again, Jordy's not going to go 1 for 9 every week. So that's going to cut into Adams, and they are going to throw to Montgomery out of the backfield. So I just think it's going to be – you're going to see erratic games from Adams. I think he's a good play this week, though, against Atlanta.
Yep.
This should be a high-scoring game.
Okay. So some of these other guys that are not as interesting to me, but I think worth talking about. Brian Quick, Scotty, on a bye. So he's not going to cost you very much. I know it's tough to stash a guy on a bye. Kind of interesting in Brian Quick.
No, he's on a bye. If I have any interest in him, it may be for next week when he comes back.
But right.
There's no ceiling there.
Okay.
You know, so I can't see it. I'd rather have Marquise Lee.
Cordarrelle Patterson, Ronis.
Yeah, I'd consider him in deeper formats. He's starting to get more involved in the offense. He needs the ball in space, and we know what he can do after the catch. He has at least 6 targets in 3 straight games and scored 2 straight weeks. I know one of the touchdowns came late in garbage time. He had 7 catches for 67 yards, catching all his targets this past week, and it looks like Stephon Diggs still not 100%. So I consider him, and against the Bears this week, you know, he could make a play or two.
You know, Cordarrelle Patterson is someone that I talked about last week when Stephon Diggs was still hurt and Adam Thielen stepped up. They were on a bye, and I considered picking up Cordarrelle Patterson then because, as you were saying, Adam, they try to get him in space. And I think not only that, but I think it's clear they're trying to get him the ball. And I think in an offense that has stumbled a little bit in recent weeks, I like Cordarrelle Patterson. I don't know, and I know this question is coming from you, Scotty, I don't know if I'd ever feel comfortable starting him or I'd want to.
Yeah.
But I feel like he has similar Tavon Austin type value.
Yeah, exactly. Like I said yesterday, he's a taller version of Tavon Austin. And you never feel comfortable starting Tavon Austin if you have half a brain, which refers me to the fact that I think Mark Cardano starts him every week. So, but you can't trust these guys. Both of them are like gadget players. And. You know, you might have a big, nice statistical game in any given week, but look, this is what you need these guys for when you have 6 teams on a bye.
Right.
So you may pick him up, and he doesn't last long on your roster.
Absolutely. Other wide receivers that could come to mind, Russell Shepard here, Scotty. Vincent Jackson's obviously out for the year. We thought Cecil Shorts would step up. We thought Cameron Brate would step up. We thought Adam Humphries would step up. Nope, it was Russell Shepard. Is Russell Shepard worth a pickup this week?
I think he is. Mayo's got a mace in his waiver wire ranks on Roto Experts.
And okay.
I guess he sees where he's coming from. They've gotten involved Shepard occasionally in the past on some key passing downs.
And yep.
Now if somebody's got to step up and play a bigger role, it's not going to be Adam Humphries, obviously. Humphries wants to stay in the slot. And Winston doesn't look to the slot enough. So I think he's got some value because obviously Mike Evans is going to see a ton of targets. You can't count on Cameron Brate. Not that you can necessarily count on Shepard, but I think he's going to be involved here and there. And this is another guy, you know, 6 teams on a bye next 2 weeks. You know, maybe you consider him.
Adam, is Russell Shepard someone to consider? I know they threw a lot last week against San Francisco. It's tough for me to count on this guy.
Yeah, it's got to be a week that you think they're going to throw a lot, but I think there are better options at wide receiver this week. I would like to see him do it consistently. But in deeper leagues, I could see you adding him.
You know, it is, it's really wide receiver. I mean, I'm pulling strings right now. That's what leads me back to Brandon LaFell. LaFell starts for the Bengals. He's the second wide receiver. He's involved in the red zone, which is good. He doesn't really get many yards, but again, he scores some touchdowns. It's a big week for the byes. Can Brandon LaFell be an option, Ronis?
Yeah, I think you could look at him this week. You know, Ty Lyford came back, didn't play many snaps. They're going to increase his snaps this week. I don't know if he's still going to get a full workload, but they are playing the Bengals, right?
They are the Browns.
I mean, the Bengals are playing the Skins.
The Redskins in London.
And we don't know about Josh Norman, who left the game with a concussion. So that really could, especially if Norman plays, you got to think he's going to be on A.J. Green.
Oh, absolutely.
So that could open it up for LaFell. So
you
I think
want LaFell, Josh Norman to play if you're LaFell.
No, I'm an A.J. Green owner. I don't want him to play. So either way, I don't care. A.J. Green could beat anyone. And we saw Marvin Jones made a spectacular play on the play
absolutely.
That, with Norman on him when that's, Norman got injured.
That's like one of the catches of the year. Yeah.
So you like LaFell. He's fine.
Yeah, I think
you could use him. Look, he got two of his touchdowns in garbage time. But
it's okay.
You know, Andy Stolton's starting to look his way more often.
Yeah, he is. We both like Brandon. Everyone here likes Brandon LaFell. It's not going to cost you all that much. You put a couple shekels on him, and you'll be all right. Last wide receiver, guys, I wanted to talk about, or last two wide receivers I wanted to talk about. One is a bye, one is hurt. That's Kobe Hamilton of the Steelers. I found out that he is not a soccer player. He's a football player. He has dreadlocks, and he's like the fifth wide receiver. And he's just a Kobe Hamilton Scott.
Really depends on what the injury situation is here. Yeah, they got him involved, but, you know, they got the bye this week for everybody to heal. I'll probably pass on it.
Yeah, I'm passing. Again, Roethlisberger could be back. Roethlisberger is, you know, Landry Jones probably worked with Hamilton a lot in practice, so I think that was part of it. And obviously, Sammy Coates was out. Coates could heal up and be back, and Roethlisberger could be back in week 9, so no.
It's something to stock away information-wise for the future. Not that you're going to pick him up, but you could see that he and Landry Jones
has
probably worked together in practice. So if the receiving core does become depleted, you remember that, and then you pick him up.
Good point. Good point. Yeah. Last guy on the list here, gentlemen, is Corey Coleman in Cleveland. Now, Terrell Pryor's banged up. I don't think Corey Coleman's going to play this week.
No.
But he's coming back. I know their quarterback situation is dire, to say the least, in Cleveland. Corey Coleman had some...
McCown could come back.
McCown's on IR. No, Corey's on IR. I'm sorry. Yeah. They're so interchangeable. McCown could come back at some point. You're absolutely right. Is Corey Coleman worth stashing?
It's hard to stash like we just bought with
all
Thomas,
morning we've talked
Thomas
about that.
Rawls. Yeah. Mm-hmm. When you have six teams on bye each of the next 2 weeks, it's very hard.
It is. Is Corey Coleman worth doing it for
He's worth it if you have the spot.
Would you rather own Corey Coleman or Peyton Barber?
Again, it comes down to what I need more, but in general, Coleman.
Okay, so in general, what about you, Scott?
Same thing.
All right. When we come back, we step away from football for a moment. Hold on, before we do that, is there anybody else on the waiver wire, Scott and Adam, that we haven't mentioned that's worth picking up? Scotty?
Would you pick up Kenny Stills?
No. Not me, personally. You know what? But 16 by, the guys that were naming the Russell Sheffers, the Brandon LaFells, they are the Kenny Stills. So you want a shot at a long touchdown, and Kenny Stills is as good as anybody. Who's Miami play this week?
Bye.
Oh, they have a bye. No, I don't pick up Kenny Stills.
Yeah.
No.
Ladarius Green, we're talking good.
Oh,
stash.
No,
Why?
No, no.
There's enough tight ends.
No.
If Jack Doyle's out there, get him. He still might be sitting out there. Vernon Davis, if Jordan Reed is out again this week. And I'm still optimistic on Dwayne Washington.
So I actually own Dwayne Washington. I picked him up last week.
Yeah.
I might start him this week.
If he's going to play.
If he plays this week, I'm going to start him.
All right, listen to this one. All right, ready? Chris Hogan, a lot of people are going to cut him. Got the revenge game this week at Buffalo. And you got other receivers on a bye.
Other receivers on a bye. Thank you, Pavona. Yeah. Other receivers on a bye. Chris Hogan in a revenge game. How excited does that make you, Ronis? Hey, you told me you liked him yesterday.
Nah, I do. I think this could be a week where they do focus on getting the ball to Hogan. I think Belichick probably buys into this stuff.
You think he does?
Yes.
You think him and Scott Engel eat the same stuff?
No.
Drink it in, man.
Yeah, I would do wear some hooded sweatshirts. Let me ask you guys this, though. What is the biggest revenge game script this week?
It was Brock Osweiler. It didn't
work.
This upcoming week.
This upcoming.
This was Gillislee this past week.
Oh,
fantasy revenge game.
So we're talking about a real revenge game?
It could be both real and fantasy because I think it's the biggest story of both. And don't look at your computer.
I can't look at the schedule?
It's not Hogan?
What? I need to look at the schedule.
It's not Hogan?
Look at the schedule. That's it.
I'm looking at the schedule.
It's not Hogan?
No.
Hold on. Here we go. Hold on. I know what he's going to say. You need to just think.
Who is it then?
Think immediately, Ronis, because this week's fantasy revenge game is Jimmy Graham back to New Orleans.
Yes.
How's that a revenge game when he's a top five tight end every week, though?
I'm just saying, for DFS, there's no bigger revenge game.
It depends on his price, doesn't it? If Jack Doyle's cheap again, it was $2,500.
I'm getting Graham in at least one lineup there.
I don't know. For me, you know, Brett Favre was drafted by the Falcons, went to the Hall of Fame as a Packer. Yeah. It's a revenge game right there.
Right. Go ahead. Ridicule me. When it blows up, I'll remind you of it.
Again, I don't want to get started.
Please, Ronis.
No.
We only have a couple days left of this.
The problem I have with it, and again, I bite it sometimes, is you pick and choose the spots. It's either a revenge game or not. No, you can't.
It's intangible. We can't go with logic on this. We can't run this by the numbers.
Okay.
Yeah. So you guy watches wrestling and he's laughing at me. And
no, because
why
he understands what I'm
why
saying.
Why do you criticize what I watch on TV?
Because you're rolling your eyes when I talk
because
about
it. Because he understands what I am saying.
It's not ridiculous.
You can't
it happens.
Call Mike Gillis the revenge game and not Brock Osweiler.
That's like
I'll get to your point in a second.
He's ruining the same point.
I tried to explain it to your stuck-up butt last week, okay, that one's a fantasy game, revenge game, and one's an NFL revenge game. I never bought into the Brock Osweiler thing. I felt like if Gillislee would have got more carries, the script was there. Adam?
That's like me saying, I can pick up any girl I want. And you go, okay, go talk to that girl and pick her up. And I go, and I try to get her, and I go, well, I didn't get her. I'm not interested in her anyway. You know what I'm saying? Like I'm bending the script to fit my narrative.
I don't think I'm doing that.
I think you are.
I think that's exactly what you're doing.
Because revenge game is based on emotion, right?
Yeah.
So how come I know Brock Osweiler sucks, but why is there no revenge game for him? You don't think he wants to go back and beat his old team?
We talked about it. He's not good enough, especially in that matchup to make it happen.
But Mike Gillislee was good enough?
It's like, you know, if you're going to walk up to the girl and, you know, it's like, and, you know, you didn't brush your hair and your pants are falling down, you don't have a chance. You know, that's like Brock Osweiler going up to Denver if Denver is the girl. Brock Osweiler, you know, he has his zipper open, you know, his hair's not combed, et cetera.
No,
you
that's, but that's our point is that, like, when you do these revenge games, you are bending it to fit your that's a revenge game. Okay, it's gonna work. You know what I mean? You're bending what you want for your narrative to work. It's either a
But I can't. Maybe you have an issue with this, and I'm not trying to be insulting by this.
But you
I
are anyway. But
I'm not trying to. I'm not trying to.
Okay.
Okay. Honestly, I'm not trying to. You can't run this by the numbers and point to this anything.
Okay.
It's intangible. Okay.
Fine.
Jimmy Graham got traded away.
Well, it's obvious, no doubt.
Jimmy Graham
and he's a top five
traded,
tight end every week.
But what
that's
I'm,
the
what
thing.
I'm saying is I'm not talking
we're playing Jimmy
here.
Graham every week regardless.
I'm not talking seasonal here. You heard what I said.
At DFS, we're playing him a lot too.
DFS, I'm not always playing him a lot.
Well, because
too.
It's based on salary.
Right, but what I'm saying is I'm willing to spend up this week for no matter what it is because I'm that confident in it. Jimmy Graham got traded away
by
the Saints.
Did you leave Gillislee in your DFS lineup?
Yes, I did.
When McCoy was active?
I left him in seasonal lineups.
I took him out. I was like,
I said he was at least going to get a part-time role and maybe get the ball by the goal line. I didn't see the Reggie Bush thing coming.
And when does the revenge narrative expire? Like how many games?
How many games?
Like, yeah. It's the Sean Jackson.
I don't know
like
Deshaun Jackson, how long that expires. I mean, it's something you can't define. You just got to have a feel for it. It's not cherry picking either.
Yeah, it is because when it doesn't work.
It's not.
It is because when it doesn't work,
not.
You're going to say, oh, well.
You're trying to make like I just, you know, like I'm picking these out of my butt.
I just asked you, when does it expire for Deshaun Jackson? You can't give me an answer.
I feel Deshaun Jackson's the type of player where it might not expire for a long time.
It might
because
not.
He's just that type of emotional, you know, guy. He's that type of fiery guy. I think, you know, I look at him and, you know, that's the type of player. I think it depends on the type of player and the way, you know, he strikes you too. Is this a level-headed guy, you know, et cetera? Like, let's say for an example, I'll give you an example because I'm trying to pick a guy who's like level-headed and poised.
Right.
Let's say the Seahawks traded Russell Wilson to, like, you know, Cleveland,
okay.
Right? Just for instance, God forbid, right? Well, actually, another team, like he ends up in the with the Rams.
Right.
Wilson's that kind of level-headed guy where you say, you know, maybe that doesn't mean a lot to him. But, you know, you look at a diva wide receiver like a DeSean Jackson. So what I'm saying is you got to take every case individually. Jimmy Graham did not want to leave New Orleans. He was very upset by that trade.
Sure.
He was very upset by that trade. So I think, and what I wrote about this in the Advanced Scout on rotoexperts.com this morning, I said, the reason why I like revenge games is because then the rest of the team picks you up. And Tony talked about this, too, the other day with Jake, because Jake completely does not buy into the revenge game. And I respect that people don't buy into it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
He said, you know, the coaching staff's going to want to get him the ball. The teammates are going to want to get him the ball. Jimmy's going to want to stick it to the Saints and get in the end zone. This is a big emotional homecoming for him.
Listen, I understand what you're saying when it comes to Jimmy Graham, and I don't disagree, right? Like, yeah. Jimmy Graham is going to want to go out and go nuts this week. He's emotional. I'm with you with that. This particular week, you're right. However, every single week, he's a top five tight end. He's someone you're going to put in your
lineup. I'm not talking seasonal here. I'm going to lock him in. I'm not even going to look at who he's playing.
Right.
I did against Arizona last week. Arizona's allowing less than 3 standard points to a tight end.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And I think in DFS purposes, he's also someone we consider each and every week as well. So, however, with that being said, I get what you're saying, that this particular week for him, a clear revenge narrative. They're going to want him to get on the ball. They'll make him a captain.
I'm going to go to DraftKings and I'm going to start my lineup with Jimmy Graham.
I get what you're saying. But where I slightly disagree, and the same thing where I was at last week, is we talk about emotion. And an emotional player made a decision. Jimmy Graham never wanted to leave. They traded him away, the whole narrative. Well, Brock Osweiler spurned this team that developed him. A lot of the Broncos did not like him for leaving. There was this narrative there this week. I understand it was a brutal spot for him in fantasy, but the narrative was there. And to ignore it, I think...
I'm not ignoring it. What I'm saying is there's a difference, and I keep saying this to you.
In fantasy and reality.
One is an NFL revenge game, and one is a fantasy revenge game, and they're different.
But the fantasy revenge game is just a revenge game that's a good matchup.
No, the fantasy revenge game is like... Is the not just a matchup? Can the player, is he good enough to impose his will? And we knew with Brock Osweiler he wasn't.
When we come back, we take a break from the football. We got World Series Game 1 coming up tonight. The gentlemen make their predictions. We'll give you some headlines, some updates, and all that good stuff. We'll talk World Series next here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Back here on the Roto Experts in the Morning, Greg Sussman, Adam Rona, Scott Angle with you. World Series kicks off tonight here in Game 1 in Cleveland. The first time there will ever be a World Series Game 1 taking place in the city of Cleveland. It looks like, Adam, and we've talked about this before, you said Cleveland would have been your pick in the AL if Danny Salazar and Carlos Carrasco were healthy and in the rotation. Well, Carlos Carrasco's not. He's not on this roster. But it sure as hell looks like Danny Salazar will be. And depending on what goes on in this series, he may make a start. It seems locked that Corey Kluber is obviously going to start Game 1. Josh Tomlin or Trevor Bauer, depending on his fingers, is going to start Game 2. The other one, theoretically, will start Game 3. That could leave Game 4 up to Danny Salazar, unless they decide to go back to Corey Kluber on 3 days rest, which also seems like a prime possibility. Other things of note for Cleveland, Adam. Jason Kipnis sprained his ankle. At least sprained his ankle. God knows how bad it is. Celebrating with Francisco Lindor after they clinch. He says he's questionable for tonight's Game 2. If he's questionable for Game 1, rather. If he's questionable for the World Series, you know this ankle injury is probably pretty bad, which would scare me. I actually just read a very interesting article about Jason Kipnis as well that said that when he was a child, he was friendly with Steve Bartman in Chicago. I thought that was a really, really cool connection. That he was friendly with Bartman's sister. They went to the same school. So Bartman was a good guy. They were just both Cubs fans, and he did what every other Cubs fan would do. He grabbed the foul ball. So that was a really cool, interesting connection. Carlos Santana is fielding some balls in the left field to see if his bat can stay in the lineup when this series shifts to Chicago. So a lot of storylines revolving around Cleveland here.
Yeah. It should be a very interesting series. Obviously, Cleveland has done a great job locking down two of the best offenses in baseball in the Red Sox and Blue Jays, but
Cleveland has not really done much offensively. They've done just enough. They've pieced it together perfectly. And I just don't know if they're going to be able to do that again. I think we all believe the Cubs are the best team in baseball. They have been all season. They responded in big spots when they got shut out back-to-back games against the Dodgers. They rebounded and the offense woke up. So I just don't know if Cleveland's going to have enough to get by another series. I mean, I just question the starting pitching. You know, if Trevor Bauer's going to go, how good could he be? I know Tomlin has been effective so far. Kluber, I think, has to go 1-4-7. I think there's no doubt that's what they're going to do.
Right.
This is the World Series, and they have no choice in the matter at this point. And obviously that bullpen is dangerous. I mean, we've seen Andrew Miller be unhittable, and the combination of Miller and Allen, they really only need 5 innings from their starters, which is why it's hard to go all in on the Cubs. But I am going to take the Cubs here. I thought once they got past the Giants, they would win the World Series, so I will take the Cubs in 6.
We've said that all along. We both like the Cubs. I like the Cubs and the Blue Jays. I like the Cubs and the Rangers. Didn't work out for either of us. On the other side, speaking about those Cubs, Scott, there's plenty of storylines here as well. Of course, the Cubs in their first World Series since 1945, haven't won one since 1908. Most Cubs fans haven't seen a World Series game for their team. And obviously, it's interesting because the Indians haven't won since, what, 47?
48.
Either. Yeah. So the pressure, though, you thought would be on Cleveland when they reached the World Series again, but it's not. All the pressure, again, is on Chicago. There's no pressure on Cleveland, especially with the Cavs just winning an NBA championship. So Cleveland, I feel like it's all gravy for them. They're loose. They're easy. The Cubs, though, do have that pressure on them.
Really, though, because of the Cavs, like, maybe that's a fan angle. Like,
it's a fan angle,
yeah,
of course.
The players, I don't think
they don't care.
Yeah.
I mean, the fans, the players also don't care that they haven't won a World Series in 100 years.
Yeah, they don't.
Chicago, right?
The Cubs don't. If you look at them, I don't see that those players feel any pressure at all.
I agree.
They're confident.
So I
think they did bask in the emotion of, you know, what it meant to the fans, though, when they won.
I agree with that. But against the Giants, you remember, I mean, Joe Maddon said, like, they would have been really, really tight if they had to go back to Chicago to face Johnny Cueto. Like, I think it had a chance to get to them. But
I think that was partly because of the Giants' success as well.
Right. Yeah. I think there was a lot that goes into it. But you're right.
Yeah, mentally, they might have felt like there's one team that could really take us out that beat San Francisco.
Seeing what the Cubs have done, though, in the late innings of ballgames, you're right. The pressure of the city is not on the players. I think that's very important to talk about, that these Cubs players, they're not from Chicago. They weren't around in 1908. They don't really care all that much. They care about themselves winning the World Series. And the same for Cleveland. But the fans, you're right. You're right in that the Indians don't feel the pressure, or the Cavs, the fans don't put the pressure on the team because of that. You're absolutely right. But
the pressure in the postseason is all there and enough.
Absolutely, absolutely. In regards to the Cubs, though, just the on-the-field product, their pitching staff's been the best in baseball all of this year. They have 4 starters that are all going to go. You have John Lester going in Game 1. Jake Arrieta, who hasn't pitched in a while, he's going Game 2. You have Kyle Hendricks, where he's been much better at home, pitching at home in Game number 3. John Lackey in Game number 4. Then we'll do it all again starting in Game 5, assuming it goes that way. The team itself is going to be everything that you have seen thus far, all the normal players except for one. Kyle Schwarber has missed essentially this entire season with a torn ACL. In football, that knocks you out for the year. In baseball, we've seen players come back. Marcus Stroman last year, Yovani Gallardo a few years before that. Now, we haven't really seen a hitter come back because of the ability that you need to run, to field. We haven't seen a hitter
to drive the ball with power.
Absolutely. We have not seen a hitter rush back from this. But Kyle Schwarber tore the ACL in April. It is now October 25th as this World Series starts. And Kyle Schwarber is going to be on the roster, Scott.
Yeah, just something added. Maybe storybook for the Cubs if he hits a big home run. Mm-hmm. Fantasy-wise, we like it because, you know,
good to see him back.
We'll see him back, you know, for next season and, you know, for people making dynasty and keeper decisions. I find this series incredibly compelling, though, because, you know, I was talking all along and joking all around that like the Cubs are going to blow it somehow.
Right.
And
yeah, you said it all along. Sure.
I think like when they were down 2-1 in Chicago that, you know, and then they came back and won the series, I felt like that window locking, like, okay, I'm wrong on that.
Right.
You know? But
I mean, you've been saying all along the Cubs are going to blow it at some point.
Yeah, I said, I feel like right now that I'm wrong on that. But this is incredibly compelling to me because one team, I feel like it just has to, you know, is going to blow it in dramatic fashion just because of these teams' history.
Right.
You know, but one team is going to have such such a load lifted fan-wise, and the other's just going to continue to suffer. It's just, it's incredibly compelling from that point. And I calculated for football the same parallels with these droughts, with the Bears and the Browns.
Yep.
I think calculating the same amount of years with both football fan franchises, Brown fans only have to wait another 10 years before they finally reach the Super Bowl. And the Bears can start making their reservations, the fans, for 2056 Super Bowl.
You know, this World Series, prices for the tickets are more expensive than the Super Bowl.
Yeah, not surprisingly.
No, not surprisingly.
Consider when who's playing, yeah.
Yep. When this kicks off, it's going to be a very, very fun series. I'm excited to watch it. And I'm not a Cubs fan. I'm rooting for the Cubs, though, because why not, basically? You know, you feel good for
them.
I want
to ask you something about that, though.
Sure.
See, we talked about this yesterday and on Old School Fantasy.
Yeah.
And people say, who are you rooting for?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not rooting for anybody.
Right.
It's, you know, I just want to see a good series. A lot of people like, okay, you want to root for someone. It's you know, people seem to don't buy into that when I say that. I'm not. I just want to see a good World Series. I can only root for one team. That's my favorite team, and that's it.
So, okay, so you say that, right?
Yeah.
But, and I have said that many times, too. Oh, you know, I don't really care who wins. I'm rooting for a good game. But when you watch the game, you wind up inherently rooting for someone. You're pulling for a pitcher. You're pulling, like, when you get into the late innings, and let's say it's a good game. It's a good ball game, right? 1-1, 2-2, whatever. You inherently, in yourself, you wind up rooting for somebody. I just think it's natural watching. I don't think that's true.
I don't. What if it comes to a team? No.
You're watching. It's already a good game. You don't care. Like, you're not rooting for someone to get a big hit. You're not rooting for a pitcher.
It's different.
To get a
strikeout. I might. And this, I guess this plays into me a little bit individually.
Right.
Because I deal with the players you know, out at the park. If there's somebody that I know or I've dealt with and they're a really good guy,
right.
I'll feel good for them when they get a big hit. But before I dealt with that, though, when I was just a fan, it's like I just like seeing an exciting game. It's not like I want the Cubs to come through here. I want the Indians. That's not the way I'm wired.
Are there any – you don't have to mention any names. You can if you want. But are there any bad guys that you run into that you root against? Because you seem to like everyone.
That's not true.
Well, I'm asking.
I've told you off the air that there's somebody I hope they would go all for 10.
I don't
if they got
remember
chance
who
ever.
You're talking about. Do you know who he's talking about?
Well, I know he told me the Barry Bonds earlier this year was not very nice.
Yeah,
to him.
Yeah, but he doesn't play anymore.
I think A-Rod would be one of those guys.
Oh.
Yeah.
He's actually, I think he's phenomenal on TV.
Everyone says he's phenomenal.
He's really good.
I'm not saying anything about that.
He's really good.
Yeah.
I really don't listen to a lot of that stuff, to be honest.
Same.
But after that Cubs game, I did because obviously the celebrations. Boy, he really gives good insight.
He does, which is cool.
Yeah.
He's very well prepared, and his insight's awesome.
Pete Rose looks like he's lost, has no idea what's going on.
As for you saying that I like everybody, I only bring up mostly guys that I like. There are guys I don't know, there are guys that I've never approach because I know they can't interview. It's
well, like, just because a guy doesn't interview with you, he's a bad guy?
No, I'm saying that means, you know, I don't approach certain guys because I know they don't talk to the media. You know, it's like...
But you really don't know who's good or bad anyway. You don't know what these guys do.
No, but what I'm saying is...
You could interview a guy and he's so nice to you and he could be, do
but
drugs.
But I can only judge somebody by how they act to me.
Right.
Okay, if I don't know all those other things. I can only judge somebody, but you're saying, like, I like everybody. It's like... I haven't spoken to everybody, you know.
You're taking it literal now, Scott.
Well, that's how you said it.
Ronis, do you
I just
feel,
said I've never heard you tell me, oh, I don't like this guy, I can't stand him. That's all I'm saying.
I said that about Barry Bonds this year.
He doesn't play anymore. I'm talking about players who play. Greg brought up an example
A-Rod.
Of you. He doesn't play anymore.
Well, this was his final year.
Okay, but he doesn't play, and he's on the Yankees, so.
It has nothing to do with him being the Yankees. It's like... You know, if Brett Gardner's up in a big spot and, you know, the Mets
against
are in the World
Mets?
Series, the Mets are not in the World Series. Of course, not against the Mets.
What if it was against the Mets? Okay.
Well, sorry, Brett. Strike out.
Exactly.
You know? But I'd be pulling for him, you know?
Do you feel like either are you more on Scott's side of things when it comes to rooting?
No. I mean, look, I don't like either team, but, yeah, I'm probably pulling more for the Cubs in this series. Just it would be nice to see that burden lifted off the fans. We saw it with the Red Sox. We saw with the Cavaliers. So, you know, as a passionate fan in all sports, I know what it's like and how rare it is to win championships, especially with the teams I root for. So for being a Cubs fan for so long and going through everything that they've gone through, and you could say the same thing for Cleveland, but it's been a long history for the Cubs and the Bartman stuff and the right. things that they've endured. And I know you could point back to the Indians in the World Series
yep.
with the Marlins.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm kind of leaning more towards the Cubs. You know, they've done a really good job of putting this team together. And I was thinking about this, too. Like, if there's any one of these two teams that if it doesn't win this year, that can win next year, it's the Cubs.
Sure.
I mean, their future is bright.
Absolutely.
The window for the Indians, I mean, look, they still have really good pitching, but the Cubs definitely have a team that I think – and we say this. Actually, I was looking back on this the other night for teams that repeated, and teams don't repeat in sports anymore at all.
It's
only the NBA.
Yeah, exactly what I was going to say.
It hasn't happened in hockey since, I think, 97 with the Red Wings.
Okay.
It hasn't happened since the Yankees did it in –
Seahawks managed back-to-back Super Bowls.
But I said repeat, though, and
sure,
win.
Repeat. Absolutely.
And it hasn't happened
absolutely.
In football since yeah. New England in 2003,
yep.
2004.
Yep.
I mean, look at that. That's over 10 years in all these sports except the NBA. It's real difficult to repeat, but I do think the Cubs –
it's real hard just to get there.
Absolutely. It is.
A lot of people don't realize that.
They don't.
We talk about that a lot. By the way, to your point, I have one interesting conundrum. You wanted me to come up with an active player?
Yeah.
It's like I hate this because I really don't like Matt Harvey, but he's on my favorite team.
Okay.
But why don't you like Matt Harvey? Because the way he deals with the media?
The way he deals with me personally, I don't like it.
It's fine. Yeah. All right, there you go. There's an active one for you.
Yeah.
All right. When we come back, oh, prediction. You picked the Cubs in six.
Yeah.
Scotty, your prediction.
The Cubs are going to sweep.
Cubs are going to sweep.
This guy goes from
this guy said something's going to go wrong for the Cubs. I know it.
Wait
no
a
matter
minute.
What, because it's the Cubs.
Wait a minute. Didn't I just preface this segment by saying I was wrong?
Yes.
Okay.
But I just think it's crazy. You went to the other end of the spectrum.
Now
I feel doomed.
Same.
Right?
You just went from the other end of the spectrum. Like, it's fine if you think the Cubs will win, but, like, you went from the Cubs, something's going to go wrong because the Cubs are going to sweep.
They're going to sweep. I think the window shut for them for something to go wrong. I was wrong. I was wrong. I don't think they could lose a single game.
Oh, my God.
Nah, they could. I just think the Indians are too good.
I think the Cubs in seven.
By the way, Pigskin Fantasy Focus says the Kings will be a Cub fan by the time the World Series is over. We'll see a Browns-Jets AFC Championship game before that happens.
I was going to say before we die? Is that what it is?
I think the Cubs are a fun team,
they
too,
are,
man.
They're
like Chris Bryant, and we got
they
the chance to interview him.
Yeah.
He's a good guy. He's
yeah.
one of the best players. I like Rizzo. Zobrist, I think's brought something. I've always been a huge Dexter Fowler fan. You can't knock what Lester has done in the postseason. Kyle Hendricks has been an unbelievable story.
Yeah.
Madden, I think, is I don't see how you don't like Madden. He's a player's manager. You could question his moves sometimes, but
I think Tony Zingata hates him.
What?
Tony Zingata hates him.
Why?
He thinks he's smarter than everybody else.
I think players like him. I think he has an
seriously.
Approach that players that like.
I agree with you. All right. So when we come back, we're talking a little NBA. But tonight, the first night of the NBA season. There's three games, which means it is the first night of regular season FanDuel and DraftKings, baby. So if you're serious about daily fantasy sports, then you don't need to be told how important information is an hour before lineups lock. If you're only semi-serious about DFS, then know this. The DFS Lineup Lock Show, sponsored by DailyRoto.com, is the most important tool in your kit for winning a DFS. From 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern, every single weekday, including tonight, Tony Zincana, Benny Riccardi will give you injuries, last-second lineup changes, and everything you need to know to win. DFS Lineup Lock with Tony Zincana and Benny Riccardi, only on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network or on demand, fntsy.com/radio, or download it on iTunes. Guys, you need to listen to Tony and Benny tonight, 6 to 7. They'll make sure you know who to put in your lineup. It's first night of DFS. You want to win money. We'll tell you who we're picking. We break down the NBA. We make our picks, and we wrap up the show. Coming up next. Final 10 minutes or so of the show. The Roto Experts in the morning. We'll be back tomorrow morning, of course, 8 a.m. Eastern time. And the Fantasy Best Friends Forever with Nano DeFino and Jake Seeley alongside Adam Ronis comes up next, 10 a.m. Eastern time. You hear Scotty come back for old school fantasy at noon. Ronis and I will be back with Ronis at On Target at 1 p.m. Eastern time. Guys, the NBA season kicks off tonight. Ronis, I'm pumped, man. I'm really excited to have the NBA back. We got three games on the docket tonight, more so tomorrow night before the weekend really gets us in the swing of things. We got the Knicks seeing the banners raised in Cleveland, because they always open in Cleveland and LeBron. New York, he's in Cleveland. Then two late games, only one early game, two late games. You have San Antonio in Golden State. That should be fun. And then Utah in Portland. From a DFS perspective, it's not a great game, not a great night of games, but I'm just happy to have the NBA back.
Yeah, me too. It kind of sneaks up upon you, but it should be a fun season. And obviously, I like playing NBA DFS, so happy that it's back.
It's the best DFS there is.
Don't love the slate, though, tonight. Just
you
three
like,
games.
You like NBA better than DFS? Any other DFS sport?
So much better.
Why?
Number one, I think I have the best chance of winning in the NBA, even though I'm just playing my cash games. I just feel like it's the most predictable one. I think, I mean, football is obviously predictable, too, for the most part, but nothing is like the NBA. In the NBA, I know if I put LeBron James in, he's going to be good. Or I know if I pay up for Steph Curry, he's going to do well. You can't necessarily guarantee that in the other sports.
You feel the same way?
I don't know. I just find to like it better. Maybe it's because also not everyone. I think in football, people are more well-informed.
Okay.
So maybe it's more difficult to get an edge. Although I found out the last 2 weeks, like cash game lineups, you have really even, I guess a lot of the chalk has hit the last 2 weeks. Like my cash lineup outscored my tournament lineup this week, and I kind of wish I put in a tournament. I mean, because a lot of the chalk came through. Jaquizz Rodgers came through. Spencer Ware came through. AJ Green, Evans, Julio. So even the cheap tight ends, Vernon Davis, Jack Doyle. So a lot of chalk has been hitting the last couple weeks. But for me, in the order for DFS, it's basketball, baseball, and football.
All righty. I want to talk just some real-life NBA. You know, we get the DFS stuff later in the next 5 minutes. But you had to – what's your biggest storyline, Scott, going into the NBA season?
I guess I'm being homer here, but that, you know, the Knicks actually may have to have a chance to make the playoffs. But, of course, you know, these big-name guys, you know, they have to stay healthy there. So that's probably my favorite storyline. I guess it says a lot about the Knicks that you're excited that, you know, they just make the playoffs, but you want to see that storyline. Obviously, they're not on the same tier. I'm really interested to see how deep Boston can go, too, though, although
right.
I'm not compelled by it.
Ronis, what's the biggest storyline for you?
I mean, I think it's obvious. It's Golden State and
I
Kevin
agree.
Durant. How do you know? How is the? It's hard to see this team losing at this point, and it's hard to see people putting anyone else besides Golden State and Cleveland in the final. And you know, Boston obviously added Al Horford. They're well coached. I think they probably are the biggest threat to Cleveland. Some other things, I mean, Carl Anthony Towns, I think he's going to take a huge step up this year, and I think Minnesota is going to be an interesting team with what they have. Obviously, Russ Westbrook, can he carry the Thunder? The improvement with Utah this year, they have an interesting team. Can the Clippers finally get to a conference final when you look at what's going on in that division? I mean, look at that division on the Pacific. You got Golden State and the Clippers. Then you have the Kings, Lakers, and Suns. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is just – you talk about top heavy and bottom garbage. I think it's clear that Golden State and Cleveland are the two best teams.
Yeah, I think...
See, that's why when you ask me, like, what's the most compelling story to me, it's
right.
like the Golden State storyline is almost too easy.
I don't think it's too easy because I think it's the most interesting one as well. The Golden State Warriors are the most overwhelming favorite to win the NBA championship in league history. Can they do it? Will we see a third consecutive Golden State-Cleveland final?
Who was the second? Do you know that?
No, I don't. I don't know that.
I'm saying obviously you took that off of somewhere. I'm wondering if they'd mentioned the second because I remember the 83 Sixers being just such an overwhelming favorite.
So this is, in my lifetime at least, this is unlike anything I've ever seen. I'm very, very excited for that. You mentioned some other really interesting one about the Clippers getting over the hump, the Timberwolves making a step forward, which I think is really interesting. I think Dwayne Wade in Chicago is really interesting.
Yeah.
Russell Westbrook taking over the reins with Oklahoma City. Will Steven Adams continue his ascent? As he did in the playoffs last year. The NBA with Portland, CJ McCollum, Damian Lillard, they get older. James Harden and Mike D'Antoni's system. Oh my God, he's just scored 100 points
a game.
What
are you thinking about, you know, changing Harden's role? What are you thinking about that fantasy wise?
I think this is a huge
monster
benefit.
Monster
the guy's gonna they're gonna play up tempo. D'Antoni doesn't care about defense, he doesn't stress it.
Right.
Harden's gonna see an uptick in assist. The guy's always been durable and plays big minutes. He's going to have a monster season.
Yeah, I agree.
Which you rank him overall in terms of drafts?
One.
I put him two.
Yeah, who did you pick one?
Russell Westbrook.
Yeah.
Personally. And those are the top two picks.
Be interesting to have that, right? See how that team competes without Durant. I'm interested to see that too.
I think they'll be okay. I think they're going to be – they'll definitely be in the playoff mix.
Yeah.
I think they'll probably be, I'd say, a 4-5 seed in the West? Mm-hmm. Maybe 4-6 seed in the West, I see. Mm. Okay. Maybe lower. I think they'll be slightly above 500.
You think Boston's like a player away?
No, I think they got the player.
I think they're good.
They got the player. Al Horford.
They just have Cleveland in the way. That's the problem. Yeah.
I think Boston's got a good year. I like Brad Stevens. I'm into it.
Interesting football news real quick. Dante Moncrief is expected to practice tomorrow.
Ooh.
He's another guy. Check your waiver wire.
He could be a free agent. Yeah.
And another one, back to what Scott mentioned earlier, Darius Green will begin practicing today.
I'm still not stashing.
We'll start practicing today when we come back.
There's too many better tight ends that are out there right now.
You weren't a fan of Green in the preseason.
No, I wasn't.
Anyway, I remember that.
I can't say I'm right because he got hurt, but the fact that he didn't practice the entire – I just couldn't believe people were ranking him top 10 when the guy didn't even practice.
I saw top 5 rankings.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
I had him like 9th, I think.
Who is your NBA champion, Adam Rose?
I don't see how you can't pick Golden State, right? I just don't – How do you go against it? What are you going to say? Well, the chemistry's not going to work, and they're not going to like Durant. It's just, I just don't, it's hard to go against them.
Scott Engel, who is your NBA champion?
It's hard to bet against Golden State. I've heard jokes that, like, the regular season's just like an exhibition, for the Golden State-Cleveland final.
I also will pick them, by the way.
I still think it'll be a fun regular season.
Yeah, I agree. I
kind of think about this, though. It's like when the Yankees were dominating,
right?
In the late 90s.
Right.
It almost took some of the fun out of the regular season for other teams, though, because you just felt like, there's almost like no shot,
Yeah.
I just think, though, for the NBA, there'll be fun games. There'll be fun individual performances. There's a lot of good young players to track and watch. So, once the playoffs come, it's pretty much you're headed for a Golden State-Cleveland final. That's where maybe the – but I felt that way last year, too, in a way. I felt like – the Thunder almost – and they should have. Yeah. They should have knocked off Golden State. But I think we all knew a Golden State-Cleveland final was kind of inevitable last year, and that's what happened, and it was a really good final.
That was really compelling with the Thunder.
Who's your MVP, Scotty?
Steph Curry.
Chalk.
Russ Westbrook.
There's a lot of chalk in the NBA this year.
There is.
I'll go Russell Westbrook.
You'll go Russell Westbrook. Yeah. I'll go LeBron James. Just switch it up. I'm really going to go off the chalk here.
Is that off the chalk?
No, that was sarcasm for sure. Your rookie of the year, Ronis?
Joel Embiid.
Joel Embiid, yeah. Nice.
I really hope we could see him play back-to-back games, but man, he looked good in the preseason. So I'll go with him,
Scotty.
Kentavious Caldwell-Pope.
He is not a rookie.
I mean, Carl Anthony Towns.
He's also
not a rookie.
I don't know the rookie class that well.
He's just naming random players.
I'll go with who Ronis took.
I'm going to go.
He's not even a real player. I said that so you would take him.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
He made him up.
Look, my NBA knowledge is pretty good, but I'm not up on certain things.
All right. For me, my rookie of the year, I'm going to go Buddy Hield. He was freaking college player of the year. I think he'd do something with New Orleans. I'll put him in there. Pump for the NBA tonight. For more, listen to Line of Lock tonight with Benny Ricciardi and Tony Zuccato from 6 to 7. For Scott Engel and Adam Ronis, I am Greg Sussman. The Fantasy Best Friends Forever are next here on the Fantasy Sports Network. We'll see you tomorrow morning.